Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church, literally here today, recording this next program here, program three, and our study in the book of Revelation, here behind the microphones here in my office here at Island Community Church. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive. We're in Merritt Island. You are invited to one of our services. We would love to see you. Our next service is going to be this Sunday morning at 10:35, and we will be in the 8th chapter of Hebrews and the 9th. So the end of chapter 8, where he's going to talk again about, as there's a change in priesthood, of necessity, there is a change of the law. That's what we're going to see now. And how the old covenant in the Old Testament has become obsolete. Now, that's the writer of the book of Hebrews' words, not mine. He says the old covenant is growing old, like old wineskins, same Greek word, the word palaios. Old wine, new wine must be put into new wineskins. And the author of Hebrews is saying the old covenant has become obsolete and is ready to vanish away. That's where we're going to be at this Sunday morning at 10:30. You're invited. We'd love to see you. If you are new to the area or looking for a church home, or if you want to dig into the Word of God at church on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, then I invite you to come here, because that's what we do here. We feast on the Word of God, that it's the central part. It's the focus of what we do, of all that we do, is we study and preach and sit under the Word of God. If that's you, if that's what you're looking for, then I invite you to attend one of our services. You know what to expect if you listen in here to WGOD. Now, let's tune into God's frequency now. Lord, we exalt you here today. Indeed, we tune into your frequency here now. You promised us blessed as we read and as we hear. As you say, blessed are those who hear the word. You call us blessed. And blessed are those who keep the things written therein, because the time is near. Thank you for explaining that to us, that the time is near once your Son returned up to your right hand. We're all on high alert. Help us to be ready for your return. Through Christ the Lord we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, we left off in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. That's what we're doing here on WGOD. You're hearing the sermons that are preached here in the pulpit on Sunday mornings. Now, for the other times here, we're going to be in the book of Revelation, verse by verse. We'll try to follow up where we were off at in our last program. There's nothing more breathtaking to me than an entire world looking up, can you imagine that? And seeing the Son of God return, and seeing that the response of people when this happened is one of wailing and not rejoicing. So we left off here in the book of Revelation. I threw it out there. What's going to be your response when the Son of God returns? And don't say, well, I'm not going to be here, or that doesn't apply to me, because I'm going to be raptured away before any of that happens. Nowhere does that say here in the Word of God that you are not going to be here for this. We read many times in the Bible that the saints are alive here on planet Earth. We read it in the Old Testament as well. Daniel chapter 7, it says that the Antichrist is going to wear out the saints of the Most High. Revelation chapter 13, we see the saints are going to be given into his hand for a time, times, and the dividing of time. So don't tell me you're not going to be around for this. You don't know whether or not you're going to be around. The question is for you is to be ready for all things. We read in Revelation chapter 12 how to overcome the enemy, the great dirt eater, Satan himself. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. That's how you overcome, no matter what age you're in. It doesn't matter if you're around at that time. That could be required of you today before you get home. You don't know. We always need to persevere, regardless of what day and time and age that we live in. I believe that the Christians will still be alive and on the earth at this time, because my Bible tells me that this rapture of the church that people talk about is going to be on the last day. Now, that is irrefutable, because the Bible says as much. It says the dead in Christ will die first. Then, when do the dead in Christ die? You know, I'm glad you asked that question. Read John chapter 6, verses 39, 40, 44, and 54, and he'll tell you four times in those verses right there when the dead, the faithful dead in Christ, are going to rise. The Apostle Paul says that has to happen first. Then those of us who are alive, notice us, he thought he was included in that. He thought this was going to happen in his lifetime. No one knows the day or the hour. Even Paul thought this was going to happen. Why he uses the word us? Those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But he tells you when. The Lord Jesus tells you when at the last day. He also tells you in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, immediately after the tribulation. So that's some food for thought. But we need to always be ready. We need to persevere today, because we never know when someone's going to knock on your door and say, "Are there any Christians?" What's going to be your response to that? See, this is why James says, "Account it all joy when you fall into various trials." Knowing that, the testing of your faith develops what it takes to rejoice when you see Jesus Christ come back. When you say no to the devil, when you, who I like to call the Antichrist, I like to call him the Zephyr Hills man, because he's going to come riding into town, proverbially in a ice-cold, refrigerated Zephyr Hills truck. You got 3.5 years on the world, 1,260 days with no rain, and here comes a man with all the water in the world for you. What are you going to do when he rides into town? What are you going to do? This is why God, friend, this is why God makes your life full of trials and difficult today, so that you will learn to trust him today, so that when this kind of stuff comes down the pike tomorrow for you and your children and or your family, you will already have the spiritual oomph like King David had to get through any of these man-made or the devil-induced trials. It comes through enduring now. What are you trying to endure today? Do you find yourself in the midst of suffering or trials? Let me encourage you. Use these things as catalysts for you to draw closer to God, not farther away. Look at some of these verses here. You know, thinking again at this, the Lord returning and people wailing. Listen to this verse here, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. It says, all, speaking of Antichrist, the Zephyr Hills man, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, comma, thank God for the comma, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Think about it. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose names are not written in the book of life, all the atheists, all of the unbelievers, all of the so-called agnostics, all of the skeptics, all of the fence sitters, everyone who is not a genuine Christian, All of the atheists, all the people that say religion is a crutch for weak people, all the people that don't give a rip about God, maybe they believe there is a God, but they're not sold out to him. They're not genuine Christ followers. All, you spell that A-L-L, by the way. All who dwell on the earth will worship this Zephyr Hills man, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. Now, let's pick it up here again. We're in chapter 1. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. Speaking of Christ Jesus, how's he returning? Not going to be on the 6 o'clock news. He's not coming back to Miami. He's not going to appear here. Even the Lord warned you. He says, when they say, look, there is the Christ, don't believe it. Or there he is, don't believe it. We know how he's coming back here. See, this is another way here that you're blessed by reading, by having ears to hear, and by keeping the words written therein. We know how Jesus Christ is coming back because he tells us right here. So see to it that you are not deceived by anyone, by any false, thus saith the Lord, by any lie, by any, there is no new revelation. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new, because the truth is 2,000 years old. You're not going to hear it somewhere else. You're not going to hear it anything, new truth and a personal prophecy. You're not going to hear it in a church. It's the same old truth. What was the truth then is the truth now. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes or all the kindreds of the earth will wail because of him. Then he says, even so, amen. That is, it is what it is. Amen. Even so, amen. Even so, everyone's going to wail when he comes back. Even so, it is what it is. When we see even so, amen, you could, in today's vernacular, call that, hey, it is what it is. Amen. He's coming back with the clouds. Every eye is going to see him. It is what it is. Amen. All the tribes of the earth, everyone's going to wail when he comes back and not rejoice. Hey, it is what it is. Even so, amen. Your friends, maybe your family members, all those who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, all those that you did not have the time to reach today are going to look up. They're going to look down, and they're going to look at their right hand, and we're going to see that they fell hook, line, and sinker for the Zephyr Hills man because they were thirsty after 1,260 days of no water and no rain. Maybe you say, well, how am I supposed to persevere? You see, Jesus, and this is another way you're blessed when you read this, you see, read it, hear it, and keep it. He says, for all of those that persevere out here today, I will give to them some of the hidden manna to eat that you know not of. Once you get out of the boat, or like that Indiana Jones movie that I love so much, when there's this plank that he can't see, and he can't see it until he takes that first step. Then when he takes it, then you see the plank. So it is here. Trust God in the face of adversity. Just walk with him. Trust him when you're going through trials. And then the plank will appear to you as well. To everyone who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. You can't find it anywhere. It's not out in the open. That becomes available for you when you trust God in the midst of adversity. That's when the hidden manna will appear to you and the water. Elijah was thirsty. First sent him to a river to drink, and then he sent a bird down with some porterhouse steak for him to eat. God is able to see you through the trials that you're going through. That's how you're going to persevere with no water. You don't listen to this Zephyr Hills man. You trust God in the face of adversity. He's promised that everyone who perseveres until the end, everyone who trusts him and says no to this satanic trinity out here, and maybe it won't be you. Maybe it'll be your children and your grandchildren. Should the Lord tarry? I don't know. That's the great mystery. No one knows the day or the hour. Mark 13:32, Jesus said that he didn't know, not even the Son or the angels in heaven, but my Father only. No one knows when it's going to happen. It could be today. No one knows. So again, behold, this is verse 7. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail because of him. I am the Alpha, or Ego, Emi, Ho Alpha, Kai, Ho Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Arche and the Telos, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That is the Pantokratos. So he's saying, well, the Alpha and the Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, similar to saying, I am the A to Z, the beginning to the end. I am, which is the name of God. Also, it's the name of God revealed here in verse 8. He who is, he who was, he who is to come, the Almighty. El Shaddai in the Old Testament, Pantokratos in the Greek New Testament. I am. The great I am. Who is? Who is what? Nope, who is? He just is. He is. And who was? And who is the who is to come? The Almighty. Panta means all. Kratos is the Greek word for power and might. Almighty God. How is that for a greeting, by the way? Greetings to you from the Almighty. Now in verse 9, a sentence or two from the man who wrote all this down. His greeting, I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience, or endurance, of Jesus Christ, I was on the island that is called Patmos on account of the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, what do you know about that? It seems like back in John's day, there seemed to be an intolerance for, first of all, the Word of God. Funny how some things never change, huh? There's an intolerance today for the Word of God. Certainly in schools, this problem is rampant. There's everywhere you look, it seems there's an intolerance for the Word of God. But look in other parts of the world today. Look at how the Bible has to be smuggled into countries, other countries like China, North Korea, Muslim countries. What are they so afraid of? The second thing that John was sent to this penal colony is an intolerance to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at how Jesus Christ is mocked in this country and how people are scorned. People like Tim Tebow and others who boldly give testimony and the testimony of Jesus Christ. People in this country are routinely silenced for giving a testimony of Christ Jesus. Again, I ask the question, what are people afraid of? What are you afraid of? Why do you got to throw someone in jail for having a Bible? Why are you afraid of the testimony of Jesus Christ? They cringe it. Some interviews with athletes after they've won something and they interview them, sometimes they have to cut out what they said because they give their testimony and they give all glory to the Son of God and thanks to him. And it makes them cringe because it's the same problem 2,000 years later as the same problem that they had then. John was thrown into a penal colony, this little rock island of Patmos, on account of two things, he says, on account of the word of God and on account of his testimony to his Savior, Jesus Christ. And now 2,000 years later, we've got the same problem. We've got the same problem today that they had then. What's the answer to all this? The answer is this. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. It's been going on for 2,000 years. The same things happening in John's day are happening in our day, except for one difference, of course, and that is today they don't feed Christians to the lions like they did back then, at least not yet they don't. The Lord Jesus says this about the future. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This is Matthew 24, 9 and 10. And then many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. That's why Jesus says that those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their lives will keep it until life eternal, John 12, 25. Maybe you say again, well, the rapture will come before all this, and all this won't apply to me. Well, as a Bible teacher, I have never been instructed by the Lord to omit portions of his word because they don't apply to you. Imagine telling the millions of Christians who have been martyred that enduring tribulation doesn't apply to them. The Lord Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. What's required of you is to hate your life, like the Lord Jesus tells you. When you hate your life, you spit in the eye of the man that's going around marking people's hands and foreheads. Satan thinks this about you. We read about it in Job chapter 2, verse 4. This is what he's talking about hating your life. He says, skin for skin. This is the devil speaking. This is an inside baseball look at what the devil thinks about you, friend. Skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. Now, that's what he's talking about hating your life. Where do you fall on that statement? Does Satan have you pegged or not? Does God have you pegged or does Satan have you pegged? All that a man has, he will give for his life. Do you feel that way, or will you, or are you trusting God in the face of adversity today? Now, back again to verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos on account of the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, this is no dream here. Now, John was supernaturally transported out of the material world, awake, not sleeping. Now, as for this reference, the Lord's Day, many early Christian writings use this terminology, and we believe this refers to Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection, the Lord's day. At the Lord's resurrection, everything changed. This is when the church changed their holy day from the seventh day to the first day of the week was on the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day. That's when the churches met. Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Lord's day. And ever since the resurrection, and he appeared to them on the first day and the eighth day, this is when the churches started to meet way back, even during the 40 days that the Lord was on the earth prior to Pentecost. The Lord's day was when the churches were gathering to meet, and that was on Sunday, not on Saturday. Now, as to the seven churches, there certainly was more than seven churches in Asia. The city Colossae was there in Asia. That's right next to Laodicea. That's not included in here. Hierapolis also was in Asia. But it's perfect. You see, these seven were right next to Patmos. And all seven fall in line, just like it's written and spoken about. Now, I recommend that you read in your Bibles, read the little map section, probably the last map in your maps in the back of your Bible. Look at how all seven of these cities here all line up in a row. Okay, well, let's wrap it up here today. I'll leave you with the same question we left at the last time here, and that is, what is going to be your response when the Lord Jesus cracks the skies and returns. There's no changing what the Word of God says. It says all the tribes and the kindreds of the earth are going to wail when he returns. Now, that's not going to be my response. How about you? What will be your response when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? That's some food for thought here for today. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.